Fight Club is iconic for a number of reasons. It was very predictive of the current predicament we find ourselves in. And, of course, we all know that line by Tyler Durden. He says, "We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. And we're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off," right? An iconic line by Tyler Durden. Now, obviously, this is just my interpretation, but I think the film is emblematic of a fundamental question in our day and age is, what do you do when rebellion is not an option? And what exactly is Tyler Durden trying to do? On the one hand, he's trying to energize, galvanize these men to give them a sense of spiritual purpose, right? To fill the void, to replace the spiritual ennui that they feel. On the other hand, he is working with them, working on them, towards the goal of ultimately blowing up a bunch of buildings. And here we see the first hint that the attempt to fix the spiritual, the psychological, ultimately ends in the very mundane manifestation of the material, which is to say, physical destruction in the real world, to blow up buildings, to leave a mark on the world, right? That's a fundamental issue with the notion of rebellion in the current year. Because rebellion, revolution, revolt, however you want to term it, as it's taken place in history, usually had something of a greater sense of urgency. More often than not, the people who launched into rebellion back in the day, whether it was in Rome or Egypt or even a few hundred years ago, really had some serious issues, meaning they were lacking one of those essential things, or all of the essential things. They were lacking food, shelter, maybe their lives were being threatened in a very direct manner. And so the incentive to rebel was such that that was a better option than to persist in the penury and the state of decrepitude that they had been in. But the modern era has offered us a fundamentally different problem, because those basic things that characterize in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, water, shelter, are taken care of. And then, as a consequence, the next layer needs to be taken care of as well. Then, needs of safety, employment, resources, health, personal security, and then above that, friendship, intimacy, connection, family, and some other things. But what happens, those are covered for most people in the West, even if they're not doing particularly well. And so you end up with these questions of safety, employment, definitely an issue still, but by no means as much as an issue as it used to be in the past, hundreds of years ago. And then you have that issue of sort of love and belonging, right? And so the primary theme of a film like Fight Club is, what do you do when basic physiological needs are met? The evidence from the film, you can try to destroy things, but you make things even worse. And so the quandary fundamentally is, there can't really be a conventional rebellion, because doing that usually involves the application of destructive force, rendering the things that create the fulfillment of the bottommost part of the pyramid. If it were perpetrated en masse, that's what you would end up with, of course, because a few houses, a few stores burnt to the ground, that's very different from entire cities being razed to the ground. And so, fundamentally, that is the question we have to deal with. Any sort of attempt at rebellion in the hypermodern context typically pulls the rug from right out under you, because you're making things worse at that physiological level. And there's no real way to rebel in a spiritual way, which is, to my mind and my interpretation, the whole reason why the ultimate goal of Tyler Durden and his crew was to blow up buildings, to level things. Because you can have as much of the spiritual going on as you want, but it needs to manifest itself somehow in the material plane. Now, there's a plot twist here, and it's alluded to in the film and the book as well, namely that living in this hyper-modern world, we are anesthetized to so many things. The energy, even if there were reason to rebel, the energy wouldn't be there. People are too sated. They're too content. Let's think about recent events, even more recent events. As you know, with regards to the pestilence, many European countries, indeed the European Union, is considering a pestilence elixir mandate of sorts. But by and large, if you looked at the protests, they were very tame. There wasn't anything special about them. Half of them looked like parties, frankly speaking. And that is a sign of the times we're living in. People are way too contented with the baseline that we've achieved. And so there's no incentive to rebel for those reasons. And a spiritual rebellion can only take place so much on a so-called spiritual plane of existence. Eventually, it has to have a material manifestation. You could argue that's the history of institutionalized religion. However, that is fundamentally the issue. How do you propose a proper rebellion when the reason why you are rebelling is because your emotional, psychological needs are not being appropriately met? Well, long ago, if a bunch of angry peasants with pitchforks and torches and shovels are at the manor of the Lord and there are only a few guards posted there, they can all be overwhelmed and overrun. And if what they want is to retain more bushels of wheat or to loot the armory or the treasury of the local lord, they can do that. And that will sate their lust, their desire for those basic needs being met. But what do you do to rebel against depression, as an example? Because depression is sort of the byword of the day. Everyone is depressed in some way, shape, or form. Although the manifestation of the depression can vary, and your mileage can vary with it. Well, it's the very nature of depression that you don't rebel. It's meant to sedate you, as is so much of the infrastructure of the very things that make sure that our bottommost needs of that pyramid are taken care of. And so we've ended up in a sort of vicious circle. The only type of rebellion that seems to have ever had any effect were the rebellions that were instigated on the basis of material deprivation in extremis. Sometimes those can be resolved. But the spiritual war that Tyler Durden talks about, and the deprivation of the soul, I'm using soul here as a metaphor, of course, what do you do about that? When the landscape is as bleak as it is, just look out your window. There's nothing there. It's empty. Sure, the props are there. The people are there. You can get on your PC or Xbox if you want. But none of that's really providing spiritual sustenance. It is a substitute. It's not really doing the legwork. It's giving you just enough to keep you going and to further sedate you. So, in light of so many of the things that have been happening this past year, in light of the pestilence, you get a real sense of what's possible and what's not. What humans are willing to do and what they're not willing to do. And I'm not claiming it's by design by any means. I think a lot of these things fall into place by happenstance, by coincidence, by the fortunes of history. But I can tell you one thing, that the setup is so good for preventing proper rebellion that I don't think it's possible. Never in the history of humanity has there been a truly spiritual rebellion that didn't take on a physical manifestation, and most of the time, in the wake of that, in the process, wrought great destruction. As always, thank you for tuning in. And again, as always, may the gods watch over you. Take care. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.